Of Torah Lamed Aleph and Likutei Moran. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 103, the left-hand column, about two-thirds way down the page, in middle of a line where it begins with the words "Vze bechinas Malach Hashem Tzvokos." We mentioned in the last year that we covered most of what we covered the Torah Likutei Moran this year as Rabbeinu Zal gave it. And Rabbeinu Zal discussed a few topics. The topic of tzedakah, the topic of the galgalim, the tzedakah leading the galgalim, the sun, the moon, the different planets. We discussed Shabbos, emuna, travel, the different problems, possible problems that come up when a person's traveling and what the cause of it is. We spoke about two levels of tikkun habris, bris ilo and bris tator. And we also spoke about a hisgalus of chesed, which meant hishtoikikus and kisufin, yearning. And what comes from that kisufin, what comes from that yearning, that it creates nefoshois, and the oisiois, the combination of the oisiois and the nekudois, those were the major topics. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to discuss, the last thing we had was where Rabbeinu Zal was discussing the concept of the Torah having in it two powers, Samchaim, Samoves, and so too Tzadikim, having in them also these two powers, Samchaim and Samoves. And Rabbeinu Zal made reference to the Gemara where it talks about four Tzadikim that went up to a very high level of Kedusha, Arbo Nechnesu Lepardes, about Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the four. It says that he was Nechnas V'yotza B'Shalom, that he was completely successful. About Acher, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, it says that he became an apikoiris, he was kitzeitz ben etiois, that's the wording. And the other two, ben Azai ben Zoyma, the Gemara says one was hitzitz umeis, hitzitz venifka, which is something in between. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this represents the possibility that we spoke about of a person either getting good or chas v'shalom getting the opposite, either from the Torah or from tzadikim or from kedusha bechlal. And we're in the middle of this discussion right now. This is Rav Nosson Zal, again, in the appendix, that he's discussing things that he heard from Rabbeinu Zal related to this Torah in Likutei Moran. V'zeh b'chinas malach Hashem tzvokos. This is what the Pasuk means when it says that a person should seek out a Rebbe that's comparable to a malach Hashem tzvokos. K'mo yishom razal shom al acher. Like the Gemara says over there in Chagiga, about acher, my chozo. What did Acher see when he went up to Shemayim that allowed him to make a mistake? Chozo malach memtes deko Yosef. He saw this certain very high-level angel in heaven that was sitting and writing the zechuyos of Bnei Yisrael. And it appeared to him as if this malach, if a malach is doing that, it seemed that the only one that should be doing that, kavyochel, is Hashem. And then on the other hand, Kaviyochel, he saw that it wasn't Hashem, as if to say there was a different Hashem. So that Chas V'Shalom, it appeared to him as if there were two Rishuyos, as if there were Chas V'Shalom, a concept of two in heaven. Omar, he said, Shma Mino, I see from here that Chas V'Shalom, there's this concept of Shtei Rishuyos. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Dorash, whereas Rabbi Akiva said, how did Rabbi Akiva understand this sight? When Rabbi Akiva saw the Malach Memtes, how did he understand it? Rabbi Akiva said, Hashem Tzvokois Shemoi. There's a pasuk that says, Hashem Tzvokois Shemoi, Ois Hu B'Tzovo Sheloi. This word Tzvokois, which refers to this Malach in a sense, Ois Hu B'Tzovo Delei. This Malach is an outstanding being in the army of Hashem, implying that as great as he is, he's still a malach, a servant of Hashem, not chas v'shalom in any way to be compared to Hashem. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein tzorech horav sheyeh lo yishnei b'chino yiseilu. For this reason, the Rebbe has to have these two ingredients in a sense. B'chinas malach. The Rebbe has to have a b'chin of malach. Hainu malach memtes. Ubechinas Hashem Tzvokois. The pasuk says im horav doime lemalach Hashem Tzvokois. I'm sorry. The Gemara says, explaining the pasuk, kisif sekoin yishmeru das v'toyer bakshim here ki malach Hashem Tzvokois. So exactly, the pasuk uses the wording malach Hashem Tzvokois. So Rabbein Azal says that these are two bechinos. Malach is one bechina, Hashem Tzvokos is the second bechina. V'zehu doim el malach Hashem Tzvokos. Exactly. V'yazai efsher lahanichnas v'neskarei ve'lov lekatzeitz v'netiois al yidei bechinas malach. And if the Rebbe has both of these qualities, the bechina of malach and the bechina of Hashem Tzvokos, then it's possible, just like when these four tzaddikim went to Shemayim, one of them got tripped up when he saw the malach, so too this bechina of malach that's inside the Rebbe can also allow a Talmud that's niskarev to get tripped up by it. Al yidei shero kemoi acher shekitzitz benetiyois, al yidei shero malach memtes, shehu malach, shehu yoishev, shayidei ze tov yomar shu rishus befnei atzmei chas v'sholom kanal. Acher's mistake was when he saw this malach sitting, that's what allowed him to make the mistake. Oy likones v'leitzei b'sholoim, al yidei b'chinas Hashem tzvokois, kemoi Rabbi Akiva. Or, on the other hand, there's the second potential, which is a potential for complete success, as was in the case of Rabbi Akiva, who latched on to the Hashem Tzvokos. In other words, so now the Rabbi Nazal is presenting this concept of Malach and Hashem Tzvokos as if it were a concept of, in a sense, like a right side and a left side. Those that hook on to the left side, Chas V'Shalom, could make a mistake, as in the case of Acher, whereas Rabbi Akiva, as if to say, he hooked up to the Bechina of Hashem Tzvokos, which means he didn't make a mistake. That's what protected him from the mistake, and that's what helped him to succeed. Ki kol tzadik tzorech sheyihye lamdon batoiro v'chosid b'maisim toivim. Rabbi Nazal says, because every tzaddik is required to have these two ingredients. Number one, he has to be a lamdon in Torah. He has to be very learned in Torah, specifically referring to Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, v'chosid b'maisim toivim. And he has to be very religious in terms of good deeds. Ki im einoi lamdon, because if the tzaddik is not a lamdon, Omer Azal, the Gemara says, v'loi am ha'oretz chosid, that one who is am ha'oretz, meaning empty of learning, or lacking, deficient in learning, can't be a chosid. So that a prerequisite, in a sense, for chosid, is not to be am ha'oretz, which means to be lamdon. V'lamdon bilvad, bivadai einoi klum. And if a person is only knowledgeable, if they only have this knowledge of Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, etc., that certainly is nothing by itself. Ki efshir lihiyos lamdon v'rosho gomur. Because it's possible for a person to be learned and a very wicked person, a complete rosho. V'loy zocho naseloy samoves. As the Gemara says, if a person is not zoche, their learning becomes a poison of death to them. Alkein tzorech sheyeh lamdon v'chosid. Therefore, a tzaddik is required to be both lamdon and chosid. Learned, very knowledgeable, plus excellent in good deeds. Just like the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, imein yira ein chochma, imein chochma ein yira. The Gemara says, kol she yirosai koidemes l'chochmosai, chochmosai miskayemes. All of those quotations are all strengthening this theme. Ubeiz b'chinoi seilu, and these two concepts of tzad, of lamdon and chosid, heim b'chinas malach Hashem tzvokos, they correspond to these terms that we used before, malach and Hashem tzvokos. Kima shehu lamdon batoiro, this that we say at tzaddik is required to be very knowledgeable, very learned in Torah, hu b'chinas malach, that's represented by this concept of an angel. Shehu malach memtes, which is symbol of which the chief angel is this malach memtes. K'moy shekosov, as it says in the Tikkunei Zohar, on a pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk says, "Vayomer lekim yehi rokia v'hi mavdil bein mayim lomoyim." Hashem said, "Let there be a sky, and this sky will separate between the upper waters and the lower waters." And the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Do malach memtes," that this rokia here represents this angel, this malach memtes. Shehu bechinas Mishnah. This angel represents Mishnah. Mishnah In the Mishnayos, the Arizal says, generally you have six types of opinions. Kosher posel, tomei toher, osur mutter. Those six concepts in the Mishnayos represent toiv and ra, mixed together, good and bad, in a sense, right and wrong. And that's the symbol of this malach memtes, who is called Na'ar, Chanoich Lanar al Pidarkoi, and we mentioned this before in the beginning when we explained it in the Torah. So Rabbein Azal says, Do malach memtes, shehu b'chinas Mishnah, hamavdil u'mafrish bein mayin dachyon u'bein mayin mesuavin. The Zohar HaKadosh says over there, this rokia separates between the pure waters and the impure waters, the mayim tohirim and mayim bein tomei letohir, osur mutter, kosher posel. That's the symbol of this malach. V'tzorich lahadmois lekoinoi lihiyois chosid b'maisim toivim. So that's one item that tzaddik has to be lamdon, and number two, he has to try to emulate Hashem in being a chosid in maisim toivim, in being loaded with good deeds. V'ze b'chinas Hashem tzvokois. That's the concept of Hashem Tzvokos. When the pasuk says, when the Gemara says, "Im horav doime lemalach Hashem Tzvokos," it means that the Rebbe has to have two major strengths: malach, the malach strength, which represents the strength in Torah Shebal Peh, lamdon, and the Hashem Tzvokos strength, which represents Maisim Toivim, chosid. Achmi shetoye v'soiver shebechinas lamdon levad hu haikor. However, a person who makes a mistake and thinks that lamdon alone is the main thing, that the most important thing is the learning by itself is a tachlis, hu bechinas acher shekitzeitz benetiyos. That person is a concept of acher who became an apikoiris, al yedei shesovar shemalach memtes biatzmoi hu rishus chasashon. What was Acher's mistake? He thought that the Malach was an entity unto himself, a Rishus b'fnei atzmoi, implying this same mistake of a Jew thinking that what's represented by Malach, which is this learning, is an entity unto itself, even without good deeds at all. Ach be'emes, Malach memtes bi'atzmoi b'li HaKadosh Baruch Hu einoi klum. Whereas the truth is, this angel by himself, without Hashem, is zero. Lahavdil, we gave the example, it's like a flashlight without a battery in it. Without the battery, it's nothing. So too here, this malach without Hashem is meaningless. Ve'ein loy shum reshus, and he has no power. Kach ha-Torah b'loy maisim toivim ein loy klum. So too, the study of Torah, without good deeds, is also nothing. Adarab, but just the opposite. Loi zocha, the Gemara says, if a person is not zocha, the Torah becomes a poison of death to them. So not only doesn't it help, it could do damage. Umachmas shnei habechinois eilu shetzorech liyois lahatzadik. And because of the fact that the tzaddik is required to have these two items, lamdon v'chosid, v'heim bechinas malach hashem tzvokois, ayidei ze nimtzo b'hat tzadik shnei koichois. This is what gives the tzaddik two powers, two capabilities. Sheyesh la Torah, the same two capabilities that the Torah has. Sam chayim v'sam oves, either to serve as a medicine of life or as a poison of death. V'efsher la hamiskarev elov limtzo boi dovor sheyikatzeitz menetiyois, and it's possible for a person that comes close to the tzaddik to become an apikoiris, as a result of coming close to the tzaddik. Oy likones velotzeis b'sholim, or to enter and leave in peace, which means to be completely successful, to benefit only by the iskarvas to the tzaddik. And we have examples of this in the Gemara. We have the very famous example of one of the Tanoim in the Gemara who had students who heard what the Rebbe said and misinterpreted it or twisted it, took it out of context, and as a result became apikorsim, tzodoik and baisus. How did it happen? Wasn't there Rebbe a tzaddik? Yes, most definitely. And because he was a tzaddik, he had these two paths. He had these two powers inside of him. The concept of tzaddik velamdon. He had the concept of malach and Hashem tzvokois, the concept of samchayim and samoves, just like the Torah has it. So that a Talmud coming to the Rebbe, depending on how pure the Talmud's intentions are, and depending on how well he prepares himself in advance, that's what determines how successful he is in the limud from the tzaddik. V'zehu imhorav doimela malach Hashem tzvokois, haynu shu lamdan batoira v'yoved es Hashem. This is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, if a Rebbe is like a malach Hashem tzvokois, meaning that he's both a lamdan in Torah and serves Hashem well, that means that such a Rebbe, when he uses the letters of the Torah, he's metzayer them the Latoiv. He forms them, he's metzamtzem the letters, and he forms them into good items. Azai Torah yivakshu mipiyu. We learned earlier that then the Torah requests from his mouth. The Torah wants to come forth from his mouth. The letters of the Torah, which themselves are sort of immobile, inactive, they yearn to be spoken through the mouth of such a tzaddik, so that the tzaddik will add nekudos to them, meaning chiyus to them, he'll add life to them, and he'll be metzayer them letoiv. The oisios represent oirois, in a sense, lights, which by themselves could go either way, good or bad. They want and yearn to be zeche, to be spoken by tzaddikim, who when the tzaddik speaks it, from the tzaddik's mouth comes forth kisufin of kedusha, only good ritzainos, good yearnings, and thereby he adds good nekudos to the letters and makes sure that the letters receive their tikkun that way. Hainu al yedei shepiv yedaber ha-hishtoikikus v'kisufin nekdusha shaloi, through the fact that the tzaddik, through his mouth, speaks his good desires. He puts forth his own good desires in wanting to serve Hashem. By doing that, we said a person actually completes souls, nefoshos. We learned in the Torah that when a person thinks good ritzonos, he creates nefoshos bekoyach. When he speaks good ritzonos, he creates good nefoshos bepoyal. Rabbein Zal quoted the pasuk, nafshi yotzo bedabroi. A nefesh is yotzei venigmar bedabroi, through dibur. Dibur is moitzi nefoshos, bishlemus. So these tzaddikim who have only kisufin of kedusha, only good kisufin, they create good nefoshos. And when they speak these goodness kisufin, they're mashlim these nefoshos. Venasin nekudos lahoisios, and thereby they attach vowels to the letters of the Torah. Venitztairu venasin kli lekabel toiv, and then these letters become vessels which can receive and contain the good of Hashem. As we learned earlier, it's the nekudos, the vowels, which when attached to the letters, they bring the letters together to form words, and then they make they form the zivugim between the letters to create shefa and to really be constructive. Tefila, mitzvos, all of them. In other words, we're talking about two branches in Yiddishkeit. The branch of learning, involving learning by itself, in a sense. Learning for the sake of, number one, serving Hashem. That itself is also a mitzvah, but still putting that in a class unto itself. A concept of learning and a person developing themselves and increasing and growing in Seichel Dikdusha. And then a second department of asiyah maisa, which means, number one, after a person learns about the mitzvah of tzitzis, etc., or any mitzvah, then going about doing everything they can to fulfill what they learned. In other words, going about the maisa mitzvah of putting on tzitzis and including in the putting on tzitzis, number one, all the laws that they learned, and all the kavonos that they learn, all the intentions, what tzitzis is about. Leman tizkeru v'asisim eskol mitzvoisei, that through this should be a keli through which I should be reminded of all the mitzvois, and ureisa moisei v'loisa surach rei levavchem v'achreinechem, that tzitzis is supposed to be a protection to help a person be careful not to look where they're not supposed, only to look at what they're allowed to look at and supposed to look at, and not to look at what they're not supposed to look at. Avachrei levavchem is apikursus. Tzitzis is supposed to prevent me from having thoughts of atheism or philosophy, that kind of thing. So taking any item in Torah that a person learns and putting it into practice. Number one, physically doing the maisa hamitzvos. And number two, tefillah. Being mispalel to be zecha to be mekayim what one learned. The whole Torah, in other words, the majority of the Torah is learning what to do. When the Gemara makes the statement, v'loi ha-medrash sho'ikar ela ha-maisa, that it's not the learning that's the main thing, but the action. It implies that there's two phases. Phase one is finding out what to do. Phase two is doing it. Part of the doing it, one of the most important parts in doing it, is tefillah. As we see in the stories in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the rabbis of the Gemara, before they started learning, they said a tefillah. And the Gemara gives examples, 10, 15 examples of what types of tefillahs they said. Number one, to be protected not to make a mistake, to be zecha to learn for the right intentions, etc. And after they learned, they said a tefillah, implying, showing us that the Torah by itself isn't enough. It's dangerous. It has a potential to kill. It's when it's sandwiched with tefillah in front, tefillah in back, and a lot of mitzvahs, then the Torah is constructive for it. Then a person has tzaddik v'lamdon, and then he's a sholim.
So when Rizal says somebody learning just the things that's a separate entity, he's even talking to a frum person.
For sure. He's giving an example, for sure. He's talking to the frumest person, and he's saying that a person, while learning, has to be very, very conscious of what their purpose, that my only, in other words, just about my only reason for learning is to be able to do. That chas shom, I don't have any intent that I'm learning something, and first I'll get to know what it is, and then I'll see, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't do it. Or I'll figure out if I want to do it or don't. That's all chas shom, this concept of making a separation between the learning department and the doing, versus what Rabbein Azal seems to be implying, a person striving for a madrega, where the two are inseparable, where he never looks at the learning by itself. Every aspect of the learning is to be zecha to be mekayim, or to be zecha to use this to bring him closer to Hashem. Just as Rav Nosson Zal once made a statement about his own shiurim, his talmidim. There were cases where he gave a shiur, and people heard his shiur, and felt that they could never do an aveira after that. They walked out so inspired and so nislahev and everything that they might have thought that that's it. After such a shiur, number one, I'm a tzaddik, or certainly I can't do an aveira in a sense. And Rav Nosson Zal warned them, and he said, "Unzere diburim as ir shmelzei nicht mit hisboridus bin ich ach gor nicht mekana." Our shiurim, if you don't smother them with a lot of tefillah, I have no pity on you. Meaning, in other words, heaven help you if you don't smother them with a lot of tefillah. Implying, don't ever make a mistake. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that by learning alone, you're finished. Because the transition from learning to being mekayim is 90%, it seems, of the avoida. That's the hardest part. That's the real battle. Just as Rav Nosson Zal speaks many times in the Kodei Halachos, he quotes the Pasuk in Aleinu, where the Pasuk says, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoiso elevavecho ki Hashem u'alekim b'ashmayim imalav. V'yodato hayoim, there's one's concept of yediyah, getting to know and understand the Torah, which is a whole process. But once you do that, you're at home plate. That's what you need to get to home plate. Now that you, or first base, let's say, you know, whatever example you want to give. Now, once you did that, now comes the heavy job of shifting that from the brain to the heart. Because the Gemara seems to say that the whole milchama, the real battle between Toiv and Ra, and the person is in the heart. Leiv chacham liyaminoi, leiv ksil lismoiloi. The yetzer, ki yetzer leiv ha'odom ra min urov. And there's a lot of psukim showing that the ikar milchemes hayetzer is in the heart. So once I absorb the knowledge, that means nothing. That means I could be apikoyre. There are people, apikursim, who we've seen have knowledge. They quote psukim and this, that, and he's a machal Shabbos, or he's a noyev, or he's a balgaiva, you know, all the different possibilities, whatever it is. How could that be? The answer is because he separated the lamdan from the tzaddik. He did some of the viodata hayoim, but he didn't bother with the vahashivoysel of avecho. And he didn't realize that the vahashivoysel of avecho was the ikar, that the viodata hayoim without the vahashivoysel of avecho is fire, is poison, chas v'shalom. That's one statement in the Gemara. The Gemara makes two statements. The Gemara says in one place that if a person studies Torah shaloi lishmo, it's better if that person was never created. That person would have been better off never having been created. Imagine what kind of curse, imagine what kind of horrible thing that is to say about somebody, to say about a yid. Better off he wouldn't have been created, chas v'shalom. And another place the Gemara says that a person should learn Torah shaloi lishma, because mitoch shaloi lishma it'll lead him to lishma. And these two statements are brought in several places in the Gemara. Tosfos asks the question in a few places. Contradiction. Make up your mind. Should I learn shaloi lishma? Should I not learn shaloi lishma? So Tosfos explains there are two types of loi lishma. There's a person who has a tino baliboy. That's the wording that Rabbeinu Zal used here. There's a person that has something rotten and evil inside, where the person has no real desire for good or for what's right or period, and their learning is not with any iota of positive motivation, in a sense. Number one, it's either purely only for selfish reasons, only for kavod in a sense, or it's chas v'shalom, looking to make fun of the religion or the religious people or of Hashem. Tosfos says those kind of people, that's where it says better he shouldn't have been born, meaning don't learn, no thank you. The less he'll learn, the better off he is, the better off the world is, the better off Hashem is. Whereas a regular Jew who isn't perfect, certainly before he starts learning, he's imperfect, and it's impossible for him to sit down and start learning with all pure intentions. So certainly a percentage of his intentions are ulterior motives or motives that aren't perfectly correct or motives that aren't right, period. But it's not that kind of ra, evil that we spoke about before. There the Gemara says, go ahead and learn and pray. In other words, that's the person for whom all of these tefillos will help purify and purify and purify until hopefully he'll get to a level of lishma, which could take years or could take a lifetime. And it's worth it. It's worth the struggle. The question is, does what we're saying here imply that the tzaddik would be the lamdon? The biggest tzaddik would need to be the biggest lamdon? And the answer is no. Rabbeinu Zal did not say that they have to be literally side by side. He did say, v'loi amhoretz chosid, that to be a tzaddik with no knowledge of Torah is not possible. Although even there, I don't know for sure if Rabbeinu Zal is referring to all cases. Now, meaning, I don't know if he's saying here that there's no such thing as a tzaddik without knowledge in Torah. Because we do have stories, number one, in the Gemara. I'm not talking about stam stories. Even in the Gemara, there are stories of people who, due to certain circumstances, weren't zoche to learn, and certainly weren't zoche to learn a lot, and yet they did a certain spectacular mitzvah through which they were zoche to Gan Eden, which means he was a concept of tzaddik. The different cases where the Gemara says, yesh koine oilomoi b'sho achas. He did one thing, implying he didn't learn tons, and yet was zoche to koine olam haba. But I think what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here more so, but those are exceptions. Those are very, very wild exceptions. Whereas in terms of the standard tzaddik, or the normal standard for a tzaddik, is certainly to have a bechina of lamdon. Doesn't have to be the greatest lamdon, but certainly there has to be a lot of Torah. The Torah, because that's the basis for tzaddik. You know, the v'loy amor etz chosid. And the example that we could give for this is the case of Rav Nachman Tolchiner Zal. Rav Nosson Zal had Talmidim. Some of his Talmidim were Goinim. They were very, very knowledgeable. Rav Nosson Zal style knowledgeable. People who were Gedolei HaDor in knowledge of Torah. And yet the student that was closest to Rav Nosson Zal was not as learned as them. However, he was very learned in Halacha, in Ein Yaakov, in those items, and in Sifrei Chassidus, because he was a person who became religious at a later age, and Rav Nosson Zal understood that to tell him to start working on Gemara, to put major emphasis on Gemara, if he would do it starting at such a late age, number one, he wouldn't really succeed in the Gemara, and number two, he would lose out tremendously on the basics that he needs for Yirah Shemayim, and to be religious. Now, the two things that you must have are the halacha and the Yirah Shemayim. The halacha is like the most basic minimum of lamdan that we're talking about. At least to know that much, at least to know what you need to do. So for this specific Talmud, Rav Nosson Zal prescribed that he put all of his energies and efforts into the learning of Ein Yaakov, halacha, and Rabbeinu Zal Sforim, those items. And it's written that this Talmud succeeded in becoming the Tzaddik Hador after Rav Nosson Zal, even though other Talmidim were much more learned than him and very religious also. Not that they weren't very religious.
Rav Nosson Zal said that there were the two bechinas, Tzaddik and Lamdan. Because of that, he has the Sam Chaim and the Sam Lamed. Does that mean to imply that one of them?
It implies that one of them has a potential for some of us. That's the point. Which is the lambda, for sure. He seems to be implying all along this whole track, it's been that the bechina of chosid, the bechina of Hashem Tzvokos, is the kuloi toiv in a sense, whereas the other bechina is either chas v'shalom, sometimes we refer to it as the ra, or sometimes this toiv or ra. Not even that. I wouldn't say sometimes the ra. It's this toiv or ra. The whole symbolism of Malach Memtes is toiv or ra mixed together. We mentioned it before, that this angel's name is spelled Memtes Reish Vov Nun. So the Gemara says in Chagiga, the Gemara says that a person searching for a Rebbe has to look for a Rebbe that's like a Malach Hashem Tzvokos. So the Gemara says, what about Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Meir had a rabbi who was Acher. Acher was his Rebbe. And we know that Acher went south. Acher went off the track. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Meir rimoin motza. Rebbe Meir found a pomegranate. Toichoi ochal kliposoi zorak. Rebbe Meir was able to select the good from the bad. And still the Gemara says that from that time on, they never said over a memra in his name. He wasn't called Rebbe Meir at all, he was called Acherim Oimrim from that point. Now, as the Gemara doesn't mention his name in a sense, the Gemara says that Kaviyochel Hashem did not say over any memras in his name, implying that even there, in a sense, it was considered a negative item to a degree, learning from such a Rebbe. So the Arizal, or one of the Arizal's forum, says that what does this mean, Rimoin Motzo Toichoyochel Kliposei Zorak? There's the Eitz HaChaim. When the Torah speaks in the beginning of creation of total good, the total good tree was called Yetz HaChaim, and the other tree was called Eitz Hadas Toiv Ora. The Eitz Hadas which had good and bad, which was deadly. It was the Eitz Hamoves, basically. It was the Eitz Hamoves. Moves was called Toiv Ora mixed together. So the Arizal says, if you take a look at this angel's name, this angel who we said is the Bechina of the 6 days of the week. Kavyochel Hashem is Bechina's Shabbos. This angel is the 6 days of the week because he represents Kosher, Posel, Tamei Torah, Osar Mutar, the Shisha, Sidrei Mishnah, etc. This angel's name, the outside letters are Amem and Resh Vav Nun, Rimon. The inside letters are Tes, Tes, which 9 and 9 is Chai. Chai representing that Eitz HaChayim. So the Arizal explains, Rabbi Meir, Rimon Motzo, Toichoy Ochal, Kliposei Zorak. Rabbi Meir saw that his Rebbe, Acher, what messed him up? This Malach. And why? Because his Rebbe was a Bechina of this Malach. It was Lamdon without enough Chosid. It was Chochma without enough Yerushalayim, all of these things. So Rabbi Meir was able to separate the Rimon from the Toichoy, from the Chai. If he was able to separate it, he could learn from him without being harmed to a degree. But that's where we see this whole concept of this Toivora, etc. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh shekosuv toirei zohov naaseloch minekudos hakesef. We mentioned this earlier. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Hashem says to Bnei Israel, I'm going to make for you kishutin, like ornaments and adornments of zohov, of gold, with silver. The Gemara says over there that Rashi Kodesh brings it, that this refers to the fact that when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, at first, Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were given, they had certain victory of Ashirus. At Yitzias Mitzrayim, their victory was Bechinas Kesef, silver. Then Hashem made the Egyptians chase them, so that when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, the Bizas Hayam was like Hashem bedecking the Jews with gold. That's when they got the extra Ashirus, the cherry on top, the whipped cream and the cherry on top came then. So that's what this pasuk is referring to. Toirei zohov naaseh loch im nekudas hakesef. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki zohov hu bechinas zivug. Gold represents the concept of zivug, mating. Kamo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, mitzofoin zohov yoaso, that gold comes from the north. North represents the left side. We usually picture a Jew facing east. When you're facing east, if in front of you is east, then north is to your left. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, V'saruso de'zivugo mi'sitro de'smolo shehut safoin. The hisoirus for zivug comes from the north, which is the left side. That's where the hisoirus for zivug comes from. V'zehu toirei zohov naseloch she'ois yois ha'toiro nizdavgin v'nitzdarfin. What brings about the hisoirus of zohov, which means zivug? The nekuda sakesef, al yidei nekuda sakesef, ki zivugon vitztarfuson shel hoisiois, hu al yidei hanikudois. It's the nekudois that are mezaveg vioisiois. Shenasim me hakisufim vahishtoikikus, the nekudois that are formed from the yearnings, shal yodom nishavna nefoshois. We said that the yearnings create souls. Shehem bechinois nekudois, which are this concept of vowels. Ki al yidei hakisufin nase zivug. It's through rotzoin and yearning that a zivug is affected. Ki al yidei ma shehu nichsaf el adovor nase nefesh. Because when a person has a yearning for an item, that creates one nefesh. The rotzoin that the person has for the item creates a nefesh. Vayidei ma shehu nichsaf ledovor choyzer hadovor v'choysef olov. And when a person yearns for something, what happens is he turns on and activates a yearning in that item towards him. For example, when a Jew in Chutz Loretz arouses a desire to come to Eretz Yisrael, when they start having intense feelings of wanting to come to Eretz Yisrael itself starts yearning for that Jew. There's a response that comes from the other side. Kemare ponim al ponim. The same face you show to it, it shows to you. Same thing with a tzaddik, same thing with Hashem. There are many psukim in the Torah that show this. Umize nishave gamke nefesh. And when the object of the yearning starts yearning for the subject of the yearning, that creates a second nefesh. V'hanefoshois mizdavgin. And these two nefoshois mate. V'yacharkach boim lebechinas ibur v'leida. And that affects a pregnancy and a birth. meaning that creates a hoilado of shefa, whether it means the person's success in getting Teretz Yisrael or all the other examples of this kind of thing. When there's a yearning from one person to the other and then the other person yearns towards them, they become friends and the friendship creates certain things. It brings about a pregnancy and a leido. It brings about birth of different things, different good results that come as a result of the friendship. V'zehu inyan hakosu v'zohar kodesh. This is what's meant by what's written in the Zohar Kodesh. Te'avuse de nukva ovid nefesh nukva. The yearning of the female creates a female nefesh. V'te'avuse de zohar de dchar ovid nefesh dchar. And the yearning, the rotzain of the zohar creates a zohar nefesh. The yearning that the person has towards the object, that direction from subject to object, is called teavusa de nukva. Vehi ovid nefesh nukva, that creates a nefesh of nukva. And this that the object of the yearning yearns back to the subject, that creates a nefesh of zohar, a male nefesh. And then when these two unite, it brings about a pregnancy and a birth, as the Zohar HaKadosh explains this item. Obviously, this is a deep item, which if one is zochah to learn Kabbalah, you understand this more. We understand that on our level, this concept that Rabbeinu Zal is saying here of how important rotzayin is, how important it is for a person to want and yearn, intensify their desires for a davar shebikdusha, and how that yearning actually creates, number one, it creates a nefesh. Not only does it create a nefesh, but it also turns on the item that you're yearning for. If a person is yearning for Torah, if a person intensifies their desire for Torah, they actually cause the Torah to feel strong yearnings for that person. They turn on in the Torah a response. And these two nefoshos bouncing off each other are what create shefa, what create different kinds of hashpois. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas gilgulei hanefoshos." This also represents the concept of nefoshos going from one to the other. Ki hadibur shemisham yoytzim hanefoshos nase al yedei chitu choisyos ba'avir. As we explained earlier, dibur, speech, which creates nefoshos by the words cutting, slicing through the air, in a sense, moving through the air, the sound waves traveling through the air. Ki hamoitzois makim zebozeh. Because these words that exit from the mouth, they strike other sound waves. The choitchinois yes bavir, and these letters slice through the air. Vuavirim makim zebozeh, and the airs bounce one against another. Ad shemagin loizna shemea, until it reaches the ears of the one that's listening, the one that hears. Val yedei chitu choisyois baavir nasa hadibur, and through the letters slicing through the air, that's what causes sound. That's what makes words. Shemishom yoitzna nefoshois, which produces souls. Ki ha'avir hu achius shel kol dover, because air is the life of every item, the breathing process. Ubali avir yef shalichyos, and without air, it's impossible to live. V'hu bechinas hanefesh, it's the concept of the soul. V'hanefoshos yoitzenu misgalgalin. So this concept of words traveling through the air, sound waves traveling through the air, is a concept of nefoshos misgalgalin. Just as these words, the sound waves, are mitgalgel until they reach the other person that's listening, so too the nefoshos that are created as a result of dibur are also nisgalgel, which means nefesh, we said, is rotzoin, the ritzoinos. For example, if somebody is speaking divrei Torah or somebody is speaking divrei Musar, and by doing that they create or they inspire somebody that's listening to be aroused to want to serve Hashem, what does that mean? What happened? It means that the words that the person spoke, the one speaking, their words were nefoshos, nafshi yotza bedabroi. Nefoshos means ritzoinos. Those nefoshos reached the person on the receiving end, and were ma'orer a nefesh in that person, were ma'orer a ratzon in that person, where that person gets a ratzon, a desire to do what they heard, what was suggested, the power of suggestion, that kind of item. So here also Rabbein Azal says, this is this concept of gilgulei nefoshos, where a person sends a nefesh into somebody else in a sense. They send a ratzon, they inspire somebody, they inject a ratzon into that person. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, uklal hadovor, to sum this all up, shema'oid yokor hakisufin v'ashtoikikos ledovor shebikdusha. Yearning and having desires for things of Kedusha is very, very precious and very important. Ki al yodom nishave nefesh, because it actually creates a nefesh. V'nigmar al yedei adibur kanal, and the nefesh isn't completed until the desires and the yearnings are spoken, they're verbalized. V'yotzei u'misgalgel, and these nefoshes go and travel, they move. There are times when a nefesh of Kedusha, which means diburim of Kedusha, travel and reach and go inside of a Rasha. And the Rasha is inspired to thoughts of tshuva. And at times, it can actually result in the Rasha doing tshuva, going back to do good. V'chein lehepech, and so too sometimes the opposite happens. Kamo ro'ois gormim hakisufim ledovo rachas v'shon. When a person has evil desires, when a person allows evil desires to be activated inside of them, and they think these evil desires, or chas v'shon, they express these evil desires verbally, same thing happens. Ki hanefesh shenishave al yidei kisufim ro'im, the nefesh that's created through evil desires, mizgalgel lefomim l'toich hatzadik, can sometimes even travel and go inside of a tzadik, v'tucha lahachtioi chas v'sholem, and it could actually cause the tzadik to commit a sin chas v'sholem, because he received some of these bad words, bad kisufim. This is one of the reasons why Rabbein Azal warned that a Jew should be very careful not to listen to the diburim of an apikoiris, because chas v'shalom, those words could have tremendous damaging effects. V'zeh b'chinas yesh hevel asher nasa al horetz. There's a pasuk in Koheles that says that there's a hevel, there's a breath that goes out in the world, and there the pasuk refers to that there are tzaddikim who turn into rishoim, and rishoim who turn into tzaddikim, etc. Hevel hu b'chinas hevel peh. The word hevel could also refer to the vapors that come out of a person's mouth. Shemishom yoitzim anafoshois. That's where the nafoshois come out of. Vaideze yesh tzadikim asher magialim kemasi rishoim. And that could cause tzadikim to start doing maisa rishoim chas v'shalom. Al yidei shemizgalgel l'toichon nefesh mikisufim roim. Through the fact that a nefesh that was created from bad desires entered into a tzadik.
The tzadik actually has to hear it. Somebody has to tell him that. Or the vibration from somebody saying somewhere could be far away.
It seems both. It seems that it could be both. Certainly, if he hears it, it can affect him. But sometimes, even if he doesn't hear it, because we once learned, we had a different chapter on the Likutei Moran, where Rabbein Azal was discussing, how does it happen that there are cases where goyim come to convert? The goy never sat at a shir. He never went. A goy who never walked into the shul. Where does it ever happen that inside this person is created thoughts and desires that should turn something on in them and bring them to leave their place and come to the Kal Yisrael? Rabbein Azal explained that there is a concept of v'shamoy hoylech b'chol amadinois. By Mordechai at Tzadik, it says that when he was victorious, when the Jews were successful, what happened was his fame spread to all the countries, far and wide. What does that mean? Rabbein Azal gave a dugma, where Rabbein Azal said, sometimes if you're outside and there's a storm going on, you could talk at a volume where normally, if there was no nonsense going on in the air, a person could hear you 20 feet away, no problem. But because there's turbulence in the air, the person doesn't hear you. So Rabbein Azal said, which means that the degree of clarity that there is in the air, as clear as the air is, it allows sound to travel further distances. Rabbein Azal said, you should know that there are certain mitzvahs that create such a clarity in the air that words could travel hundreds of miles. Meaning, not necessarily that the person 100 miles away will physically hear the words, but even though they don't physically hear it, it'll go inside, it'll travel to them, it'll go inside of them, and it'll take effect on them. And Rabbeinu Zal said, for example, tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah, creates an avir hanach vahazach. Because the Gemara says, oyave oshirabim, that rich people have a lot of friends. Why? Because the fact that a person has money, people feel attracted to that person. So Rabbeinu Zal says, because they are looking to get something from that person. The one thing, the fact that this person has the ability to give and do, and people want that, makes them attracted to him. It shortens the distance. Suddenly, in other words, person says, you know, a person wins the lottery, wins $10 million, and suddenly has 4 million friends. Everybody's calling up. Everybody's his mother-in-law and sister-in-law and brother. Suddenly, everybody's his relative and his friend. All of these people who didn't know him before he had money, suddenly they became his friends because of the money. Money makes friends. Oyave oshirabim. So Rabbeinu Zal says, lahavdil, lahavdil. In Kedusha, when a person gives tzedakah, it creates friends. It shortens distances between people so that it allows words that normally are spoken in a room and could only be heard by those presents, it could allow those words to travel miles or hundreds of miles or thousands of miles and reach people in distant places. Rabbeinu Zal explains it much more over there. I'm giving it to you in summary form. But that's an example where could be sometimes, even though they don't physically hear it, it could be heard in another place. The effects could be felt in a different country.
So you consider it a war in the air all the time between the Goyim and the Jews?
Most definitely. Or between Toiv and Ra in general. That was the fact that there are people constantly pumping out Ra into the air, and there are people pumping out good, and sometimes the person can get hit by something, most definitely. That's part of our tefillah, is that a person shouldn't have any accident happen. You know, physically we know there are cases like that. A person's walking, was minding their own business, and suddenly they get hit by something, you know, from left field. Here also, spiritually, there certainly could be such a potential also.
Do you have anything to do with bat kol?
That's another example of it, of a cruise, an announcement that Hashem makes every day, certain bat kols, which some people get to hear it and some people don't. To the degree that a person, that the air is clear between that person and Hashem Kaviyachol, to that degree the sound travels more freely and the person is affected. Or another person has built up solid cement walls where through their averois, it creates mechitzos which don't allow the sound to get through. We said, "Va'idei zeh yesh tzadikim asher magia lehem kemaaseh harishoyim, aydei shemizgalgel toichon nefesh mikisufim roim." V'yesh rishoyim shemagia lehem kemaaseh tzadikim. There are rishoyim that sometimes are reached by the actions of tzadikim, meaning aydei shemizgalgel toichon nefesh mikisufim roim. Through the fact that they're entered into this Russia, a nefesh that was created through kisufim toivim, by the good desires of somebody, it changed the Russia. It made the Russia want to change and become a tzaddik. Ulefamim hatzaddik misakein hanefesh ro'o shemizgalgel elov. There are times that this nefesh ra goes into a tzaddik, and instead of it hurting the tzaddik overtakes it. He succeeds in correcting that nefesh ra, that rotzon ra. V'chein ha-rosho mekalkel hanefesh kedoisho shemizgalgel betoichoi. And sometimes also by the Russia. A Russia can have a nefesh toiv shot into him in a sense, and he goes ahead and messes it up. He can undo it in a sense. Ach b'tchila be'eis shemagia hanefesh, al ze omar hakosuv, yesh tzadikim shemagia lehem kemaisa horeshoim, v'yesh reshoim shemagia lehem kemaisa tzadikim. The pasuk is talking about the initial event that takes place. Initially, there's a possibility of a good nefesh going into a Russia or a bad nefesh going into a tzaddik. As far as what happens, once that does happen, there still is bechira, there still is free choice, that even when a tzaddik gets hit with a nefesh ra, he can either allow it to harm him or he could defeat it. And vice versa, by a Russia also, when he gets hit with a nefesh toiv, he could either let it have its good effect on him, or he could try to overpower its good effect and turn it into ra. Ki bevadai noiflem loy hirhurei aveiro be'ez shemagia elov nefesh ro mikisufim roim. Rabbi Nizal says, definitely the tzaddik feels hirhurei aveiro when he first receives that nefesh ra. He has thoughts, bad thoughts, thoughts of committing sins, chas v'shalom. Ach achar kach, efsher shetachtiyoy ve'efsher shu yisakin ha'nefesh. However, with time, it's possible for those bad nefoshos to actually get the tzaddik to commit a sin or sins, or it's possible for the tzaddik to beat them, to defeat them, and not commit the sins. V'chein yesh rishoyim shemagi aleim, shenoiflam loy bevadai hirhurei tshuva. Rabbi Nizal says the same thing as by the Rosho who receives a nefesh toiv. There's no question at all that when he first receives that nefesh toiv, he definitely starts having thoughts of wanting to be religious or wanting to do good, etc. Be'ez shegiel of nefesh kadoshim, gisum kadoshim. At that time, when that nefesh, that holy nefesh that was created through good desires, reached him. However, afterwards, one of two things could happen. Either the good nefesh will turn the Russia into a non-Russia, or chas v'shalom, the bad in the Russia will overtake the good nefesh and swallow it up and not allow it to have effect on him. We'll hold it over here for now.